The bar is a simple, warm, welcoming place at the end of the day. It's somewhere you can relax, and it's somewhere you can go if you'd like to pick someone up for an evening of fun. There's the regulars who are quite willing to pair off with someone. The energies here get into the system, into the blood, and often there's enough lust just fomenting about the place. No one's ever known why, but people tend to pair off at the end of the evening. And that's for the best. Awaking refreshed in the arms of a beautiful woman is more than worth one's time. The sign by the door says the wet bitch. Kind of tells you where you're going. Not an unwelcoming or judgmental place at all. The woman behind the bar, her dusky skin, warm, welcoming appearance, lends a further sense of comfort and safety to the area. There is a skittering clatter as she moves back and forth, and you know the secret. That she is in fact a Dryder, one of the part spider, part dark elf women who inhabits the nearby forests. Lanterns on the walls, torches outside the door. They let anyone in as long as you're peaceful, mind your own business, and you somewhat intend to do so. The mirror over the bar reflects the room. You look in it rather than gazing at any of the groups in particular. Ordering a drink, it passes your lips cool. The bite as it slides down your throat, heat spreading through your body. You notice there's a large crowded table in a far corner. People sitting at it in a variety of colorful outfits. Costumed entertainers, perhaps. One is in full armor, maybe a city guard. You don't really know. The air is slightly smoky, but with perfume or incense, rather than anything crude or abrasive. A small wishing well actually fills one corner of the room, apparently a recent addition. There are coins glistening at the bottom. You walk over and check. And near that well, seated among some plants that have been shoved in to give the corner the appearance of verdant life, like a little garden, there's a woman. Long blonde hair, tucked back, tied with silvery chains that keep it in place. Blue eyes, locked on a document, in some script you can't immediately recognize. She seems extremely focused. She's wearing a simple black dress. There's a veil over her mouth, from her nose down, in some lighter hue, blue, maybe purple, hard to tell in the dark. The veil across her face is an unusual affectation. A small wrapped cloth runs around, covers her hair as well, on top. Most of it. But the braid fell loose enough for you to see the color. You look at her closely and approach. She doesn't seem to be pushing people away, and the chair across from her is pulled out. You wonder if anyone's taken it. Her dress is conventional. Modest, actually. Her breasts are C-cup, small D. Her form is slim. Eyes focused, flitting from line to line across the page again and again. She stifles a yawn. You walk over to the chair, pull it out, sit down, extend a hand across the table, say hi, and introduce yourself. She looks up, surprised, smiles briefly, a little thin, a little cold, doesn't reach her eyes, but she seems to welcome the interruption, pushing aside the documents and drowsily with an extended, stretching yawn, stifles a moment later. She briefly grasps your hand, as if unfamiliar with the gesture. Her fingers linger at your wrist, and then she says, "I'm Dominica. Greetings." Her voice is subdued. You take a moment to simply relax and look around. She doesn't seem to object to you having sat down, still. The woman behind the bar, busty older matron of this place, and the owner, smiles faintly in your direction when you meet her gaze. It's nice to see a new guest, and she has faith you'll order something soon. But your focus is on something that's not on the conventional menu, and you do have your drink already, which you set down. Sitting there, gazing about, a nearby table, not the one with the costumed figures. No, one nearby table just holds a couple of women having lunch, wearing peculiar garments. One's in a latex catsuit, covering her completely. The other's wearing almost nothing, a few flimsy pieces of gauze over what you can see are pale brown nipples poking out. None of the usual crowd is in except that one city guard. You turn back, observe her, taking your gaze away from everyone else. You were just trying to give her a moment. What have you been reading, if I might ask, you say. You ask her, telling her she looked so very interested in it. You say the words slowly, intending to draw her in. She was already sleepy, after all. She responds, simply saying, it's a text, an old mind control rituals, actually. Interesting reading. You ask her, should you really be reading about old mind control rituals with your mind quite so open and receptive? I mean, the intricate allure. The way those kinds of things are written, I don't know if you'd really be able to resist if someone took a brain that's already wandering about and wondering about hypnotism and trance and offered the enticing deal to you to relax for a little while, to follow where someone else can lead and, let your weary mind rest. These words flow from you quite naturally, surprisingly, in fact. One of the candles on the table has an unusually long wick, black, long. Might be hers, she may have brought it. You reach out to the silvery candle holder below, raising it up. Holding it, beginning to wave it back and forth, just letting it slide and sway. Is this used in the ritual you're reading about? You ask. You sway it forward and back. Her eyes follow the movement, her half-lidded, still drowsy, still exhausted eyes left and right and left, drooping a little. Yes, actually, she says, her voice monotonal, distant. You slowly lower the candle back into place, let it rest on its holder. Her eyes follow it, looking down, which causes her head to tilt forward just a little bit, looking down, staring at the candle, watching the light dance. You whisper about sleepiness, depth, deep places. You watch her vision flutter, flicker. You're about to snap your fingers when she snaps hers. Your head droops. Your eyes fixated on the flame. Yes, it is nice, isn't it? So many things can be contained in a flame. If you zoom in enough, the panorama can be entirely contained in quite a small physical space. But it occupies more and more mental space, catching the edge. She's got one hand on that manuscript. You can tell her the corner of your eye, but turning your actual eyes away from the flame is quite difficult. The flame catching the edge of your thoughts, which are quite flammable by this point, easily sent up in smoke and replaced with dancing, all-consuming, gleaming light. The edge of the flame, slippery, viscous, hard to catch with your thoughts, and you wouldn't want to touch it anyway. She goes on and on. But increasingly your thoughts, your vision is in the flame, increasingly following. She slowly reaches out her fingers to either side of the flame. You see that they are moist. And once all that's in your head is flame, once all that's in there is that glistening gleam, it's so easy to just snuff them out. And she does. And then there's nothing in there. Makes it very easy to fill up. Your mind desperately grasping for some satiation, for any two words or two thoughts to put together. You know, it must be hard to stay up there like that. Maybe you should get down below for me. Hands and knees. Those are two words you can catch on to, and they're two action words at that. Steady. Euphoric to finally have something to latch on to after flame burned all thought away. You find that sliding, slipping, where she's directing, and she's pointing a finger to helpfully guide you down, down, under the table. You wanted to go there anyway. She is wearing quite a short dress. Hands and knees, that flare of arousal, but still all that's in your head really is hands and knees, and some thoughts about how attractive she is, some thoughts about her fingers, some thoughts about them snapping. Or snuffing a flame. Hands and knees. That's right, come closer. You hear a few distant titters in the room. Others must be watching, probably people from her troop. But as you slowly, hands and knees, move closer, you see that yes, she's hiking up her dress. Yes, just what you wanted. She moves her sandaled feet to either side, spreading her legs. You crawl, yes, right in there. She cuffs one leg around behind you, resting her foot on your back. The sandal seems to be gone, it's a bare heel digging in, pulling you forward. Until your face is right between her legs, you wonder if you're going to get to see her panties or do something more. But there before you is the silvery gleam of a chastity belt, locked around her pussy, locked around her waist, no panties in the way, just that silvery belt in the way. You can see her creamy inner thighs, luxuriate in being there, feeling her warmth, and you still think, crawl forward, push your face there, so you keep crawling, until your nose bonks against it. She giggles above you, raises the other foot and rests it on your back, and so with your nose against the steel of her chastity belt, and your mind, thoughts snuffed right out and replaced, she keeps purring on. You thought you were going to get something more, but this is more than enough. I think you've given me the breakthrough I need, and as a prize, you may be my footrest for the evening. That's very nice. Say thank you. And the words do tumble from your lips. Thank you, Dominica. Thanking her. Thanking her as she digs her heels into your back. Thanking her as she takes a load off, leans back in her seat a little, lets her feet rest there. But always, her thighs are to either side of your face. Her pussy's right there on the other side of that steel. And her feet are resting on you, as you hear the pages of the manuscript gently turn. And you imagine you feel some shuddering, vibratory tremble run through you from her feet resting on your back. You wonder where the idea of using the candle in the first place came from. You wonder where the idea of hypnotizing, trancing her came from. You realize, no, nothing to realize. The source is irrelevant. She digs her feet in. Say thank you, she reminds you now and then. And you thank her now and then, as you feel the weight of her feet there. And she gently meanders on through the evening. Time is a distant thing. Your thoughts will take a long time to regenerate, she reminds you. And so you're only going to have to use the ones she gives you. Thoughts like stay right there. Thoughts like rub your cheek against her inner thigh. Thoughts like tremble with delight at being her footrest. Thoughts like thank her more and more. Thoughts like come back here again sometime. You're sure she'll still be puzzling through that manuscript for the rest of the week at least. Thoughts like thank you, Dominica, and a trembling arousal at just resting there, just being frozen in place. Just for a while, being thoughtlessly utilized. There's something nice about that. Maybe there are other ways she can use you in the future.